aspect of working with others, helping others, and we'll start with youth. Brother Farmer sent me a text last week that in Kayana, probably population of, I'm not sure what the population is. Somebody could look it up real quick on their device. 150, 200, something like that. They had 30 young people in a youth service. Praise God. Amen. Now, if that was in their house, that's a living room kitchen area about the size of our vestibule, maybe a little bit smaller. If it's in the house that they're using for a church now where the Summers are living, then it'd be a little bit bigger. But 30 youth, praise God. That's awesome. Very awesome. 361. So they had almost a tithe of the population in youth alone. That's awesome. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. God bless you. And thinking about youth, and that's where we're going to start tonight, and we talk about our ministry to others, our responsibility to others. I tried to think of youth that God used. Amen. Good to have you here, Sister Nichols. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate her being here from Eagle River. Hearing good things about the church in Eagle River. Praise God. That's awesome. We're very thankful for that. Just stand and testify real quick, Sister Nichols, about what God's doing. Amen.
Thankful that we can do what God wants us to do. It doesn't always fit with what we want.
Yeah.
We need to follow what God wants us to do. And I'm thankful to be in a position that I am able to do that and be flexible with myself so that I can be flexible with the Lord. And God is so good to me. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Brother Seagraves gives texts and reports every now and then about new visitors and new ones coming, and so we're excited about the good reports. Praise God. But you think about youth that the Lord used, and the circumstances weren't ideal in most cases. They weren't situations that were custom-made for youth to minister, to be used of God, but they made themselves available, and the Lord used them. Joseph came to mind, first of all, 17 years old, and put in very tough situation. Not only isolated, but abandoned by his brothers. 10 brothers that threw him in a pit, and then pulled him out, and then sold him to some merchants who were on their way to Egypt, and part of their inventory, human slaves. My, that's pretty drastic. But look what the Lord did. The 13 years before he was elevated to prime minister, if we could invent that title. And then the 7 years of plenty and the beginning of the 7 years of famine, and his brothers show up. Wow. Quite a young man to be used of the Lord. David, a ruddy youth. Just means he looked very youthful. He didn't look like a young man necessarily, or a young adult. He was very young looking. But when he stepped forward to challenge Goliath, he'd already had a couple of great victories in a bear and a lion. Praise God. Samuel was a child, and God used him and his ministry all his life. All of his life he was used of the Lord. and anointed Saul, anointed David. Just amazing. The maid of Naaman's wife. Naaman, a captain in the Syrian army, victorious, great valor, but he was a leper. And it was her testimony. It was her speaking out that said, there's a man of God. And the story began to unfold. What if she didn't speak up? What if she wasn't identified as a Hebrew or a maid of Israel? What if she had assimilated, fit in with the culture, with the crowd, and didn't want to be different, didn't want to stand out, quickly adapted the customs and the language and even the religion? But she didn't. And we have an amazing story that even Jesus pointed out. There were many lepers in Israel, but only one was healed. Daniel, his three contemporaries, you know, there's several. So youth can very much be involved in the work of God. Now, to be able to fit into his plan, there needs to be knowledge of God's word and experience with him. These individuals weren't just randomly picked and said, okay, you're going to be used of God, and set down in a circumstance that was quite difficult. They had a background, and they had backbone to be able to stand for the things of God. Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Praise God. A study of the word of God, an application of the word of God. That is what qualifies a young person to be involved in the work of God. So their action should always be in harmony with the teaching of the truth. And then see what God will do. Give God first place in plans and decisions, and see the hand of the Lord at work. Praise God. What matters most? Well, God's presence, the power of the Holy Ghost, complete dependence on his word. Amen. Because that's what's eternal. And heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his word not going to pass away. Amen. This society is becoming more and more sinful. And more ideas and righteous living and so on is being thrown to the wind. And the Bible tells us evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. That sounds like quite a whirlpool that is sucking a lot of people in and not releasing them to live respectable lives. And cheating and dishonesty and so on are bringing about scandals in schools, in marriages, in churches. See, the devil is no respecter of persons. He spews his garbage to everyone, everywhere, all the time. That's his method of operation. Obviously, then, to counter that and be able to overcome it, there needs to be a people who are spreading the gospel to everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Because there is good news. So, the youth take it upon themselves to be on guard, to guard their eyes, to guard their heart, to guard their emotions. Don't let temptation master you. Master those temptations. Amen. As that's the way to bring on the victory that the Lord would provide. Stay away from the causes of temptation. Amen. Just close the device and shut off the video or whatever it might be. Just stay away. Praise God. That doesn't mean you're paranoid. That doesn't mean you're consistently living or constantly living on the defensive. It means you're victorious. It means you're overcoming. And God gives the ways and the means to be able to do that. We go the way of the cross by the means of the Spirit and following what God desires us to do. Love needs to be in the right place. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because the world passes away and the lust thereof. But if you do the will of God, you can abide forever. And John warns, along with that, that the love of the world and the love of the Father don't coexist. They can't abide together. It's going to be one or the other. So we make our choice. We love the Lord. And the Lord said to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and be able to make it a total commitment for the Lord to lead you and to guide you. Praise God. And youth have to experience this. It's one thing to hear it, one thing to see it among those who are in the church, but to be able to apply that and to live that is a whole nother situation. Prayer life is what improves spiritual life. And you have to be disciplined for a life of prayer. That's, you know, these are things that we know. But here's the bottom line. You can read about prayer, you can study about prayer, you can hear preaching about prayer, but you're not going to learn how until you just do it. And it takes time to do that. And you have to be disciplined to be able to do it. Praise God. But here's why it's important. Here's God's plan. And it was what Joel wrote 800 years before Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost. But we'll look at Joel 2:28 and see who is involved in God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, all flesh, obviously, is God's plan. That's his desire. But notice how it goes into specifics. Your sons and your daughters. That's indicative of youth who are going to be involved in the work of God. Your young men shall see visions. God obviously pinpointed who he had in mind to be involved in end time revival. And that's our youth. Praise God. Amen. Now, we look here at our youth, and let's have our youth stand up. Have our youth stand up. Go ahead, Amelia, you stand up too. Now, in 5 years, in five short years, doesn't seem short to them, it seems forever. But in 5 years, look at the difference that's going to be in evidence in their lives. Amen. And in 5 years, 5 years of experience, of prayer, of overcoming, of mastering temptation, of being used of God. 5 years. Oh my, what a church. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. Now, youth stand on the shoulders of their parents. Stand on the shoulders of the church. So obviously, they should have vision. They should be able to dream dreams that are divine and be able to see, oh my, that's what's possible. That's what where the potential is. That's what God can do. Praise God. And to see revival in the future. Not a church that's going to compromise. Not a church that's going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Not a church that's going to succumb to the atmosphere and the society around it where evil men wax worse and worse, and so we might as well compromise a bit. We might as well give in a bit and be deceived. No, no, a church that is powerful. A church that stands upon the Word of God. Amen. So, what they see in the kingdom of God should be greater and more grand than what the previous generation saw. Praise God. Amen. And that's possible. That's God's plan. That's what He wants. Praise the Lord. And thank God that our youth are well on their way to experience that kind of revival. Amen. Because indeed it is going to get darker. But you know the saying, it's been put into song and all kinds of things. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Amen. And thank God that that's what we can believe. Now, a key, however, a very important key, and this is something that we have tried to challenge our youth with all along. It is not serve us. It's service. Not serve us. Service. And unfortunately, much of the world today is keyed in on that aspect of we need something to do. We need a place to go. We need, you know, just all kinds of entertainment. But the youth that are going to be used of God in end time revival are going to key in on service. Amen. Willing to work, willing to serve, willing to do the will of God. Jeremiah has several chapters of Lamentations. That's pretty sad. But he's lamenting the fact that Israel has stepped away from the things of God. Promises that he makes, like his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. And it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, he's keying in on the good things of God, but the people of Israel haven't. And so he's lamenting that. But he points out something real strong in Lamentations 3 and 27. And he simply proclaims, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Now, what's that talking about? Well, it's simply a yoke being service, oxen or donkeys or horses or whatever, put in a yoke and made to work, made to plow, take a cart to market or whatever. Well, it's good for a young person to be in that place. Well, I don't like to be tied down. Have you ever tried to fly a kite? How important is that string? Does it work without the string? The only way the kite is going to gain any height and not just flop and break and get muddy and dirty is for the string to be attached. And then it can soar. And you let more string out, and boy, there it goes. Way up there. There's got to be strings attached in order for youth to be able to see the vision that they want to see, and that is attached to the generation that went before, as well as to the doctrines that they have held to. Praise God. But oh, I'm excited. I'm excited about the youth. Praise God. Now, Jesus was answering a question about the greatest commandment, and he use that passage that I quoted earlier about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So, here came the question. And who is my neighbor? I don't know if he's trying to be a smart aleck or if he was truly wanting to know, who do you want me to direct that love to? Who do you want me to focus on? And the scripture says he's a lawyer. That is probably not used in the sense that we use it today, an attorney at law, and so on. More than likely, it's someone who is very well-versed in the law, in Moses' law. But nonetheless, the question is there. Who is my neighbor? So, Jesus told a story. The man on his way to Jericho, or on the Jericho way, whether he was coming or going, notorious for being infested with robbers, was robbed and left half dead. He's in poor condition. A Levite came by, saw him, passed around. A priest came by, saw the man's condition, he's half dead, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, I'd really like to have seen the expression on the certain lawyer's face when that despised group of people was mentioned. A certain Samaritan came by and had compassion on him, took care of him, put him in on his own donkey, took him into the town, put him in a bed at the hotel, and said, I'll pay his expenses. If there's any more when I return that I owe you, I'll take care of it. Now, who was the neighbor? And the lawyer couldn't say that certain Samaritan. He couldn't say that. He said, he that showed mercy. And Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. So, the audacity of people in a catastrophe that's unfolding in the Houston area and in all of South Texas, there are people that are stealing, posing as Homeland Security officials advising the people to evacuate so they could go in and burglarize those homes. People stealing donations. Is that fulfilling the scripture? Evil men shall wax worse and worse? My goodness. This is incredible. And because of the electronic age that we're in, I suppose that is a possibility even more than what it was before. But, wow, what an opportunity to be a light. What an opportunity to be a neighbor. Praise God. Galatians 6 and 10. The opportunities don't require a catastrophe. That catastrophe, that tragedy is awful. Katrina and now Harvey, several years later, again, the devastation and the ruin. But the scripture says, as we have, therefore, opportunity, and those opportunities come, let us, say that with me, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Praise God. So there's our neighbors. Two kinds of neighbors, really, that we want to just talk about here for purposes of this lesson. Every human being on earth, 7 billion plus. That's pretty staggering. Several billion plus. We owe them the good news of the gospel. And Jesus said, go into every nation and make disciples. So we make it personal. I work for God, for Him to give the increase. And that's how it works, where He gives the increase. I there's no way I could do it. And besides that, He gives it better anyway. His mercy, His compassion, His love, His forgiveness is far greater than what I can be able to imagine. So He gives the increase. And then that increase has a way of expanding the kingdom beyond that initial ripple, you know, that our witness does. It just multiplies. It just increases. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord comes forth. Since I can't go to every city and to every country, I give so that others can go. And you saw the slides there of a youth revival, a youth conference in Namibia, and those who were blessed to ride in the pickup, and those who were orphans getting supplies and so on from the back of the pickup. Praise God. That's why we give, so that the Eichards and many other missionaries can do that kind of work. Praise God, because I can't go there. But I go where I can, and I witness when I can, to everyone I can. See, we got to get rid of I can't, because you can. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, you can. Praise God. And the neighbors are blessed as a result. Neighbors in the faith. We belong to the household of faith. Praise God. And we do good especially to them when the opportunity comes up. And that's God's blessing. That's God's plan. Amen. I like Solomon's advice. Solomon's advice in Proverbs 24 and 29. This is a way of looking at the golden rule, except don't do it this way, is basically what he's saying. Proverbs 24:29. Say not, you know, don't do it this way. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. That's the way the world likes to operate. I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to fix you. I will render to the man according to his work. Solomon's saying, don't do it that way. Don't say that. And the Lord puts it correctly in Matthew 7 and 12. See, the Old Testament said eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, life for life, and so on. That whole aspect there of punishment. But Jesus gave different answers in that context. And in Matthew 7 and 12, there's what has become called the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Okay, so there's that initiative. The Apostle Paul adds commentary to that under the anointing of the Holy Ghost in Romans 14. In Romans 14, beginning at verse 17 on to the end of the chapter, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. And this is where the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And then he goes on and says, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And sometimes we think, is that possible? Does it work that way? I haven't seen it work that way. You know, and we struggle with it. But it's God's word. And so we pray, oh, God, help me, help me, help me, Lord. Don't let me be overcome of evil. Help me, Lord, to overcome evil with good. And those neighbors that are loud and obnoxious and foul and cursing and all kinds of terrible stuff going on, we've tried to figure out a way to overcome evil with good. Praise God, because that's the way the Lord would have us to be. Praise God to do the work of the Lord. Colossians 3 and 13, this is more to the household of faith. Colossians 3 and 13. The household of faith that you do good to, especially, here's the instruction from the word of the Lord. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So the recognition, okay, because we're in a church, because we're together, because we rub shoulders a lot, there can be misunderstandings. There can be things that are misconstrued. So be sure that you're applying this aspect to that relationship, because you're my disciples, he said. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And what is that sign? Yeah. We do good, we love, we appreciate, we forgive, and that's the work of the Lord. In John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Okay, so we're simply obeying the word of God. We're simply following through on what God's word says. And that John 13:35 is the one that you completed just a moment ago. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Praise God. And then, being disciples, you're charged with the responsibility to others, what we're talking about. You're charged with that responsibility. Make disciples. Praise God. And that's a big job. A job you can't do on your own. You need his help. It's not going to get done any other way. You've got to stay close to him. You've got to be in his word, in his spirit, walking in his love and mercy. Praise God. Otherwise, you're going to make people mad. You're going to make situations not be smooth. But Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. That's the NIV rendering. The King James says to teach all nations. But that literally means to make disciples of them. Praise God. Which is a greater step than just sharing information. You know, we share the information and say, okay, you've been told. Making a disciple is several steps beyond that. Have them over for coffee. Spend hours answering questions that you would think would be pretty easily answered. And you just spend the time. Praise God. Doing that. And then Mark 16:20. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And notice, the Lord is not saying, wait, my power is not going to work there. You can't go there because they've stepped out of bounds. They're not redeemable. No, the Lord went everywhere with them. And he confirmed the word everywhere with them, with signs following. And that's the exciting part. Praise God. You love to see the signs? Amen. We sing about it. I love to see the signs that follow saints of God. I love Jesus best of all. Praise God. Well, the Lord's waiting, saying, I'll go with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to stall. You don't have to hold back. I'll be with you. You're not alone. It's not your word that's going to be fulfilled. It's my word that's going to be fulfilled, and I will fulfill it. And I'll show you signs that's going to be fulfilled. Praise God. And so, he's waiting. Thank the Lord. And thank God for, 54 years this month, or next month, September. 54 years, this church has been seeing those signs. Praise God. And I believe God's got more. God's got way more. Praise God. And we desire to see him. Let's stand tonight. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Be disciples, make disciples. Praise God. It's a twofold challenge that the Lord makes to us. That's not impossible. It's not impossible. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it. He doesn't make statements that are, you know, impossible. If he wanted to, I think he could make things very complex. He could make things very complicated. He could make things very impossible for us to fulfill. And only one or two would make it in. But he doesn't do it that way. Praise God. He opens up great possibilities. He makes available huge potential. Praise God. And he says, I want you to be involved. I want you to be a part. Glory to God. And so, I say, I'm willing, Lord. Use me, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Praise God. Could you come and pray here for a few minutes? Praise God. Responsibility to others. I'm so glad there was a lady who went down to the dock in rainy Sitka and waited for the shore boat, walked down the float, got on that little, I guess it was about a 40-foot boat, went across the channel to the other side, walked up the dock, walked to the hospital, carrying her Bible and her story chart, up to the fourth floor of the Native Hospital, down to the end of the hall, and unrolled her little chart and taught us kids in the hospital of Bible stories. Praise God. Because one day, that lady made that trip. And it was far worse conditions than this. If you've been in Sitka, you know what she went through. Sideways rain, blustery winds. But one day, she made that trip out of hundreds of trips that she made. And she prayed for a little boy who felt the power of God for the first time. Healing power. I'm glad there was somebody who went. I'm glad there was an old retired couple in Huna who was there when that same boy, 3 years later, 3 years, they didn't give up on me. They didn't say, oh, well, forget it. I guess he's not paying attention. He's not listening. They held on to God. And they were there to pray with me when I left a pool on the altar of tears, asking God to forgive me. Oh, I felt so good. Felt so clean. I felt so forgiven. Praise God. And oh, what a journey. <laughs> 51 years ago. Praise God. Let's love the Lord together.